T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, folks, we'll open up the text line for you, as we do all show long. It's the Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota 560 The Joe text line. The Big One sales event is here at Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota. Special financing offers on all new models. Visit KendallToyota.com or WesKendallToyota.com and unlock your special price and special financing rate. All the savings all month long, all at Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota. Joe popped a question earlier. You have a fantasy draft of the NFL. You have the first two picks, basically, of this draft. Which two players do you take? And we all discussed it earlier. All of us basically had Mahomes on that list, and then we had a defensive player or not after that. But I finally found in our text machine a different answer on that from our friend the Jedi, who puts Aaron Donald and Russell Wilson as his two.
That's not a bad combo.
Nope. He gave an explanation Wilson. No, it's not. Listen,
Russell Wilson's explanation.
He's not even in the conversation, though.
Listen to his explanation.
His explanation's
meaningless, but I'll let you read it. But, like, he's not even in the conversation.
Russell Wilson has gone up against and beaten Brady and Manning, Peyton Manning, Rodgers, and helped beat a very good 49ers team last year at their house. Donald, you could line him up both inside and outside, a prototypical Warren Sapp, Reggie White defensive lineman that could always disrupt an offensive lineman anywhere in the trenches. Those two were some bad men, I'm just saying. That's from the Jedi. But he's got Russ on there and says he's beaten Brady, Manning, and Rodgers.
Well, Joe likes Russell Wilson more than anyone I know. So, Joe, I mean, you don't think him and Mahomes have anything in common, do you?
No, I like Mahomes more. But listen, I'm building a team. I'm looking at age, too.
Right.
And one guy's a hell of a lot younger than the other guy, even though Russell Wilson could play another 7 or 8 years very easily, takes great care of himself, never gets hurt. I don't know if Russell Wilson's ever missed a game now that I think about it. I think the closest he came, and Domi Kinsu stepped on him or something, he was a little nicked up for a while, but he's a special player, man. I know we don't talk about Seattle much, but he is – he's right there at the top. That guy, I had no problem somebody saying that. But Patrick Mahomes, man. I mean,
you know the problem with me for Russell Wilson is he has the worst play in modern football history. Like that I can remember. I'm being serious. Like that.
Is it his fault?
I don't know whose fault it is, but
he didn't call the play.
Yeah, really?
You could check.
Yeah, he gets some of the blame.
He's not a rookie. Like, you could check out of it. Like, this is not a good idea.
By the way, he's came into the league in 2012. He has not missed a game yet.
Hey, let me say this, too. Like, that's a great call. Like, you know what? There's Russell Wilson, and I know he looks like pretty good. Hey, this is what you want to do, and it's the biggest play in the biggest game. But doesn't he go, hey, we got to hand off to this horse behind us. He can either run over or over the top. We got Marshawn Lynch. Are you kidding me? Let's do it. Let's put it on that. And it's the worst play in the history of.
It is. It is.
I know.
You're putting it in all of football. Worst play ever? Worst play I've ever seen.
Super Bowl history. Definitely Super Bowl history, right?
So Atlanta has the greatest collapse, and that one would sting. Right. I can't even imagine. I don't think the Falcons have ever recovered from that collapse. Like, I still can't. You got to go back and watch, and you're like, I still can't believe it. Like, one more first down.
Well, they haven't
one more first down, Atlanta.
Right.
And it's bad. But
they've been terrible ever since that, though, Joe. And then look what happened to Seattle after the aftermath of that. They've had players leave. They've had, you know, issues over there.
Marshawn Lynch running the ball down ready to score, and you decide to throw that stupid-ass pass. You didn't even throw it out wide. You threw it in tight, and the worst part is New England was waiting on it. Like, Belichick had actually studied that play. That's what even gets me more is, like, there's no way they'll run this play. Belichick's going, yeah, they might. Let's go ahead and make sure you cut inside this guy and pick it. Like, yeah, it's the worst play ever, especially when you got to – all those guys are going, why didn't Marshawn Lynch get that ball? Even if they get penetration, Marshawn Lynch is one of the greatest jumping vertical running backs we've ever had. Like, the guy can get up. I just, it was a bad play. Like, that's – I know they won a Super Bowl before that, so it kind of took away from the sting a little bit. But they got two. That's two.
It's the worst play in Super Bowl history. It's not even a question.
I mean, if you throw a fade route or something out wide and it gets picked or something, I mean, it's still a bad call. But
well, anything's going to be considered a bad call by not instead of handing the ball off.
Any play that's picked what is else bad, right? Like, if you're going to throw a fade, you throw it high and outside, and you know, maybe your guy comes down with it.
But even if it was incomplete or intercepted or whatever the case may be, it's still – unless it was a pass for a touchdown.
There was time left, wasn't there? Like, there was enough time for him to get another playoff after that, even if he got stopped.
But the fact is, it was a really bad call in a tight area of a lot of bodies. And New England was waiting for it. Right. Like, the guy goes, yeah, we studied that. We thought they might do that. And I was like, you really thought, like, is Belichick that smart? He really – and, of course – look at what it did for the guy that did it. His career's taken off. He's made a lot of money. He got benched in the Super Bowl, but gone on to have a hell of a career for himself. Yeah, what a crazy play, man.
Right.
You can't name a worse play than that.
In the biggest game, you know, we could see a bad play in the fifth game of the regular season by a team and, you know, kind of, you know, throw it out the window and say, God, could have won that game if you didn't do that stupid play. But we're talking about Super Bowl on the line. And you called a play that after the game, you look back at it and go, why the hell did we call that?
Well, I'm trying to think of other plays that would be like in that similar category. J.R. Smith comes. What about the J.R. Smith play where he gets the rebound and he tries to run out the clock because he thinks his team is up?
Seven-game series. You know what I mean? We're talking about one game on the line. If that was game seven with 12 seconds left.
That
you know?
Picture of LeBron like freaking out, though, yelling at him. Right, that, I mean, that's going to be there forever, though.
Yeah, but you can't. Listen. I
talking
appreciate
about the Super
that.
Bowl.
You're talking about the end of a game with a chance to win, and you got the perfect guy behind it. It doesn't matter. Right. Everybody knows. Like, you've got the guy, and you've got time, and you decide somebody, and that's where Russell Wilson has to go in there and go, I don't feel good about this. I'm checking. It's on me. What are they going to do, get rid of Russell Wilson?
Someone texted in Garrow's pass.
By the way, always on the highlights. There. But they won the game. They still won.
Right.
And they're all mad at him. But they weren't too mad at Garrow because he won so many damn games kicking the football. That guy was a stud kicker.
That's we opened up the floodgates, by the way, Joe. The Chris Webber timeout. Somebody just texted.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Right. We're going to get that now.
Oh, God.
We're
going to
get that now. Right.
Nice call right there. Right. That's a good one. By the way, that guy's never recovered from that. He and his teammates, they still don't. That's caused him trouble. By the way, whoever came up with Michigan, you got
good
me.
Call.
That was
right.
a good one.
Good
but
call.
I still don't know if it's got the impact.
Still on college basketball, I don't know if anyone texted this one in yet, Zach, but Derrick Rose missed like 10 free throws.
Right. I mean, listen, you
for
could
Memphis.
Say Nick. Remember Nick Anderson Memphis. Also. Remember Nick Anderson missed four straight free throws.
Yeah, he did in the finals.
Time. Right, right.
But
this was one play. Right.
Saying all that, it was a bad play.
Right.
And it's just, if it would have been a rookie quarterback or something, but like, I don't know where they threw it. It was so tight. They almost hit the tackle. It was so tight. They almost threw and hit his big tackle on the right side. It's just like, that's a head scratcher. How many people turned that game off and went, they didn't really just. Right. All these guys making all that money to call the best plays. That's what they came up in the biggest play, in the biggest moment.
Right. With Marshawn Lynch, right.
In an NFL season. Right. And you got Marshawn Lynch back there who can either run through or go over the top. Right. Plus, Russell Wilson can scramble. Like, guy can.
Right.
Guy's a mobile damn quarterback. Good runner.
Yeah. Someone just texted it as if losing the Super Bowl wasn't enough. That play killed Seattle's mini dynasty. It's the reason Sherman left, for example, and the Legion of Boom is gone.
By the way, they all don't think they let right. that go. They all wrote right. the call. That's the beauty of that team, though. I got to give them credit. All those guys, you know, that's kind of a freedom of speech team. And so it seems like Pete Carroll's always been kind of cool with that. But he couldn't have liked that going when guys on defense are going, man, we got Marshawn Lynch. I go, hey, we are saying the same thing. I feel better. The guys on the defense, all those really good players are going, what the hell are we doing? Dumbasses.
Right. Super Bowl on the line. Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. Right.
Chris Webber's a good one, though.
That's close. That's better than the Garrow, and it's better than J.R. Smith.
Look what – well, Garrow's not even in there because they won the game. No.
Right.
They were going to get a shutout, but they still went on to win the game. But the Chris Webber thing and that relationship that's been done on the documentaries, like, he didn't get along with a lot of those guys, if any. Hey, you want to hear something
crazy? He also put him on probation, too, by the way, after that, because they found out he took money.
But that stinks to be, known for a bad play, though. Like, that's what Chris Webber's known for, isn't it?
Right, yes. There's nothing in the NBA that he's – what in the NBA?
He's known for that, though.
He's actually a good player in the NBA. Like, he was with Sacramento. And
no, he was, but none of that matters. It just doesn't matter. He's known for the time. It's like Buckner. Like, he's known for the ball going between his legs.
Right. You're right. It's a good point.
Poor Bill. Really missed his life.
Right.
Poor Bill, moved away from the world and then came back later. When
he got brought back once they won a World Series, right?
Yeah, same but they gave him a standing ovation once all those fans realized they – like, destroyed the poor guy.
Ruined his life,
down and out, moved to Idaho in the middle of nowhere.
Did a very funny episode with Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm, by the way.
He did. Walking down the street. That was a good one.
And people cursing at him, yeah.
If you're getting paid, it's a little easier, though, right?
Right,
money,
right.
And you know that it's acting and not the real thing.
What about the kicker for Buffalo, Norwood? You think
never the same.
Right.
It wasn't an extra point, but that guy was a really good kicker until then.
There's a lot of kickers that have choked, though. That's tough because those guys, it comes down to them a lot.
But in the Super Bowl like that, I mean, look at Vinatieri. He's known as one of the greatest kickers of all time. Look at his clutch kicks. And then Norwood missed a 35-yarder to win the Super Bowl.
That's why one guy's considered to be the greatest or one of the two greatest kickers of all time, and the other guy literally was never the same. He came back.
By the way, how much does that kick by Norwood change the legacy of all those Buffalo guys if they just would have won one out of those four?
A lot different.
Right.
Instead of saying we went to four straight and lost.
And lost four straight, right.
Four straight. And by the way, outside of that game, I think Buffalo got their ass kicked a bunch in those games.
They did. They did.
Dallas just
crushed them.
Oh, hold on, I think Dallas just scored again. That was a rough one, man. No, but that play, if we're doing plays, that Seattle thing, I mean,
it's bad.
It was bad, but they did get a little help from Atlanta because Atlanta pulled. I still cannot believe with a quarter and a half. I can't believe that happened. There's no way that happened. And they were kicking their ass. Atlanta was pounding. Right. They were playing a man-to-man, and they couldn't do anything. And then they got tired. I think by the time it was done, didn't New England run like 100 plays in the game? Like, they were just
– so.
They were just – but every play had to work, like every first down, every score. Like, we got to score every time. And meanwhile, all Atlanta needed was like one first down. Don't turn the ball over. At least punt it. He turns the ball over.
That will be collapse. Matt Ryan's legacy, that quarter and a half. Like, that will be all he has.
If he doesn't win a Super Bowl,
which he's not going to. He has no shot to win a Super Bowl.
Right, but he has to win it with Atlanta. He can't win it with another team.
It won't happen.
He's
got
to win it with Atlanta. Right.
He got sacked and forced the fumble from the front side, and he acted like he didn't see it. He acted like he was some high school kid playing in the NFL. It was like, it was just a really, really bad choke. I don't like to say choke a lot.
Joe, it was a choke.
It was like deer in headlights. Like, no, not what now? Oh, no. Right. It was just, they deemed, he should have called a demon timeout. Like, Get the demons out of your damn head. Stop it. All right. Right now, I want to tell you about something really special in town here. We got. Did you know we have one of the best sports medicine programs in the country? Right here in our backyard. That's right. Down in Coral Gables. Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, actually voted and ranked one of the top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. And people ask me almost every day when I'm out, hey, Joe, can I ask you a question? Where do all the professional teams go and all the athletes? I know they like to go to the – what group of doctors are they using? I go, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. You mean like Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins? Think about it. They all trust and go to Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables because of all those doctors covering every part of the body, some of the top specialists in the business. So when you've been injured and you know you need an operation, it's got to feel good to know you can get in and go to a doctor that's seen that, fixed it, with one goal, by the way, always when you go in there. Get you healthy, get you back out playing the sports you love the most, even if you're not just if you're not getting paid and you just enjoy a sport and you want to get back to playing it on the weekends. That's why they're so good. And by the way, the best news is you can still get in to see those same doctors who work on high school, college, and professional athletes every day. I love telling everybody about Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today to see those same doctors that work on million-dollar athletes every day. I don't count them because of pressure. Guys feel pressure no matter who you are. Some guys handle it better than others, but there's been a lot of really good players miss free throws. There's been a lot of guys after missing big free throws that careers were never the same. Same with field goal kickers, miss one and end up being like 50% field goal kickers and end up getting cut. That's been really common. We've seen a lot of that. We really have. But when you start talking about a play call or just a collapse,
right?
Like we saw, like we're never going to see that Falcons thing, especially the way they dominated the game for 2.5 quarters. New England was having trouble getting first downs, and then it looked like they got tired, and Brady just was like, knew that every second counted and they had to score every time they got the ball. And to come back and win that thing, it was just both those plays, man, for me, the Atlanta one and the Atlanta collapse in Seattle, whatever you want to call that, is crazy. By the way, the other one, I was just thinking about why we were during the break. How many players have left New England, either got cut or became free agents, or even got traded and went to the Texans, Lions, Dolphins, or Titans?
It's a lot, right.
And we even had a receiver here that when he was done here, the Lions picked him up. No, he's not done. Hell, he's going to be our receiver now. So, like, Belichick, and look how many guys we picked up off the practice squad or signed to free agent contracts, or I mean, we had guys playing a lot of football that were just had a sniff of football with the Patriots, and Coach Flores remembered and picked them up. And then you look at the other teams. Titans picked up a couple of free agents, paid them really good money to grab a corner and a running back, and you just go through the whole list. New England's been good for, like, whatever you want to say about Belichick, he's helped a lot of dudes make a lot of money going other places. Now, a lot of them have ended up coming back and leaving again, usually.
Right. But they go get their money, they come back, they win a Super Bowl, and then they go get more money.
But you look at the Texans, the Lions, the Dolphins, and the Titans, and their roster, and you'll go, oh, yeah, he was with New England. Oh, yeah. He's a free agent. He wanted a lot of money. That's right. Oh, Belichick doesn't pay a lot of money for that position. Oh, hell, Belichick doesn't pay a lot of money for anything. Except Stephon Gilmore, who's ended up being defensive player of the year.
Which was the best free agent pickup for a team probably in the last couple of years.
Well, he's been good
there.
Right. He's been a lot better in a New England uniform than he was in a Buffalo uniform as a former.
And he was really good, but he was really good in a Buffalo uniform too. And he just took it to the next level with Bill Belichick.
He was good, but now when you start talking about a guy being defensive player of the year, like they don't just give that defensive player thing away. You know you've had a damn good year, and the system, and playing, getting the most out of it. And it's one of the few guys that's ever been paid. Like, Belichick thought that position was important enough in his scheme that he goes, we're going to pay Stephon Gilmore. That's a position I will pay top dollar for. And he's paid off. Been worth every dime.
Right.
I mean, you can argue he's the best. I mean, he's defensive player of the year, but whether if he's not the best corner, he's right there at the top for sure as everybody looks at what he's been able to do. So we had some defensive ends get paid. Chris Jones got paid defensive tackle. Myles Garrett came back, and you went, 5-year, $125 million extension. So basically he is now tied up for 7 years and $144 million. And as long as he's getting sacks, and there's no reason with his talent, he might be the most athletic player in a league full of really good athletes, but he ranks right up there. The stuff, the video that comes out on things that he does, like you watch him, right, Zach?
Yes.
You watch, like he's dunking a basketball, getting like 3 feet over the rim, and I was
no,
watching.
No, he's an athlete, a hell of an athlete, right?
And then you've seen his weight workouts, right? And some of the weight he's putting on his back and his vertical, like. He's jumping up on things that are right even with his head. Like stuff that there's not too many guys any size can do. There's probably some track athletes out there could do it. He's freakish. And I think he's by far the best pass rusher, by far, in the NFL. Inside, outside. And listen, he did something stupid last year by flipping his helmet. He's lucky the quarterback didn't get hurt. But he got suspended 6 games. And even after that, they said, hey, you're not going to do that again. We're not even worried about it. Here's your contract. That's how good you are. That you get suspended the last 6 games, and guess what you get for getting suspended? We've seen how good you were in those first 10 games.
Right.
And we're going to pay you. We're going to lock you up. Here's what we're going to do. So just an incredible athlete. Really just amazing. One of the best.
He'll be 12.6% of the Browns cap. That's what the $25 million a year represents.
So that, and the reason everybody's doing this, Zach, because that's going to change as soon as these TV contracts
and they
get life back to normal. That, I don't know what the number's going to go up to, but these TV networks aren't going to let the NFL go. It's just too many eyeballs watching, and they're just not going to let it go. And that NFL get a chance to get a Super Bowl and having those games on, yeah, it's not going anywhere for sure. I'll tell you where we're going. We got to go to a break. Man, every time I turn around, we got to go to a break here. We got a lot more stuff coming up. Brian Geltzeiler will join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk to Brian about the bubble in the NBA and some of the news coming out over the last few days, including Ben Simmons is now a power forward. Like, why is everybody making a big deal about it? The guy can't shoot. Outside 8 feet, he can't shoot. Like,
well, you know he's not a stretch four, right? Can't be a stretch four if you can't shoot from the outside.
I just, like, I've always wondered when a guy is a first overall pick, and he can't shoot from the outside. I didn't even know in college he couldn't shoot from the outside. Matter of fact, he didn't even look to shoot. Didn't he go through a year where he didn't even take a three-point shot?
Right. I think maybe one. I think that year was one. Yeah.
I'd just like to play against him, like just play like 6 feet off him, like shoot
right.
it.
Right.
Shoot it. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. I haven't had a chance to talk about them. I've been busy yapping. But I got to tell you, my Tahoe, I'm going to jump in. I've been jumping in my Tahoe just to get out of the house and driving around, just to get rid of frustration, get out of the house, and just drive around. Yep. filled it up, and just driving around in my brand new Tahoe. It's just so much fun. I love it. It's nice and big. It's comfortable, and it's a fun ride for you and for the whole family. And the Suburbans, oh, they are just beautiful too, man. Do you need space? You got that big family. Have you looked at the new Suburbans that just came out? And then how about the Chevy? How about the SUV family? You know, I got talking about the Chevy for the big boy SUV. I want to talk about some midsize SUVs that I know you're going to love. And maybe the hottest one is the 2020 Traverse. Makes every drive worth the trip, whether you're going to the Keys or going up to Orlando, wherever you might be driving around. This midsize SUV is spacious enough to accommodate a big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style that you're going to love. And then the Equinox SUV, a smaller SUV, but boy, it's got everything you need. You want something a little smaller? Handles great, that's it. And then my favorite, the Chevy Blazer, 2020 Chevy Blazer. God, what a great, sexy look to it. Just striking, man. You're going to love it. And take that for a test drive. You'll definitely fall in love. And I didn't even have time to tell you about my favorite, the durable, strong Silverado trucks for all the folks that are just making it right now and doing everything and really need a truck. Go check out the Silverado truck. It's got everything you need for the family and for working side jobs. Trust me, Silverado's for everyone. Find your reason to switch at your local South Florida Chevy dealer. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe counties. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
All right, Joe, real quick, let me give you a little update on COVID-19 powered by AirPros $79 service call. Call the pros that know, AirPros, acrepair.com. The new numbers will be out around 11 a.m. this morning. As of yesterday, Florida had a one-day increase of 9,194 cases, bringing the total up to 291,629 COVID-19 cases. Miami-Dade had a one-day increase of 2,090. Broward, a one-day increase of 1,330. And Monroe had 30. This update on COVID-19 powered by AirPros $79 service call. Call the pros that know, AirPros, acrepair.com.
So apparently yesterday, and I'm just reading this, but I just get a kick out of sitting back watching this stuff from our leaders of our county and our cities. And so the governor comes down to meet with, not all the mayors when I'm done with this story, but a lot of them. So the mayor of Hialeah shows up, and security goes, no, you're not on the list. He goes, what? I got second biggest city in the county. How in the hell am I not invited? Because I've been a little tough on the governor? So they didn't let him in. Became a big story. Like, that can only happen down here with everything going on,
right?
I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, Hialeah is pretty good. You don't do that to my Hialeah. Sometimes people in Hialeah feel like they don't get respect. You know, we call them the Hialeah brothers. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't do that to them. You can't do that to the mayor. Got a zillion mayors down there. Come on.
That's, I mean, you're really going to leave one out, though? Come on.
Yeah, but the guy's got like, he was like, you got mayors there. They got like 2,000 people living in his area. He's a mayor for 2,000 people and like 500 houses. I'm a friggin' mayor for the second largest area next to the city of Miami. So,
anyway, doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Right.
But only down here, right? I mean, only
of
down
course.
Here.
Like, of course.
We're going to get petty and like, no, you're not. No, you're out. You're not. You're, we put you on the list. I don't know how we missed you, but you're out. You're not in. Yeah, so. Anyway, very interesting day yesterday. It's still trying to figure out how to get those numbers down. As we mentioned, the rookies are supposed to, and as of right now, it's still on, are going to be reporting to camps next week. Rookies report next week, and camp is supposed to start at the beginning, at the end of the month. Now, problem is, the NFLPA's got big concerns. Players Association has made it very clear they are worried about the coronavirus and the numbers here in South Florida. So, for good reason. They should be, and they're trying to keep their players healthy. Here's a problem they're going to have. So the union wants testing every day, and I don't know if you can test, because now you got to test what we're going to be talking about. 80 players, if they knock it down from 90 to 80 maybe, You got 20-something coaches, and then you got everybody else affiliated that helps it, from trainers to equipment people. So everybody, can you imagine how that's going to go over when everybody's waiting still? They're still saying there's not enough tests. People are waiting in long lines still. Can you imagine how that's going to go over? Like, I can't even imagine it. Can you imagine the complaints you want to talk about? So the rich athletes get all this test every day. I've been waiting in line, and I can't get it. The results are another 7 days. And then that's the other problem. Even if you test every day, doesn't look like you can get results back, like, by the next day to let somebody know.
No, not quick enough. What is it, five days before you get the results?
So that's been a problem with baseball. And I just don't know how they're going to do it for 32 teams and 100-something people. I just don't even know if it's doable. I understand the NFLPA asking for it, you know, and you could check temperature and all that stuff, but you can't get it done for everybody else. I don't know how the hell you think you're going to get this big number done every day so you can have your football back. By the way, college football is going to want to do the same thing when they get going. Mm-hmm. I just looked at it, and some of the stuff the NFL and NFLPA are going back and forth, no preseason games. If that's what it's going to take to get regular season games, I'm good. Rather play a couple, but if that's what you have to do. Then the other really interesting one is they came out with this new, I think everybody's seen pictures of it, the protective face shield that's now out. Said it's coronavirus proof by, 80% or whatever it is. But a lot of guys don't, like players are going, I get our safety and stuff, but I ain't real big on that shield. That shield, man, you know, and receivers don't like, most receivers don't like wearing that stuff. They don't even like putting barely, they're all wearing quarterback pads and their pads, they don't have knee pads. Nobody wears knee pads. By the way, the thigh pads are so small now that if you hit somebody, it would feel like they didn't have anything, any pads down there. So guys aren't crazy about this. I just don't know. And the opt-out stuff that's going on and for high-risk players and players' families that could affect them, there's a lot to work out before you put a bunch of players on the field next week. That's what I came. They talked. They got nothing worked out. They're listening back and forth on what they can and can't do. But I don't even know if some of this stuff is out of their hands. It has to do with the state and locally. And that's chewing up a lot of tests. You start doing testing every day on, I don't know, Zach, 130 to 150 people.
Right, you have to. Think about all the people at each facility.
By the way,
you can't just test the players, you've got to test everybody.
Even the people serving you food.
Right, everybody, Joe. Every employee for the Miami Dolphins. Everyone from the guy that's hired just part-time to help out with the training staff to you know, the general manager of this team who's there. It doesn't matter who it is. It's got to be all testing. It can't just be a couple people that get tested. So, yeah, you're talking about a lot of tests for 32 teams around the country, including, you know, three here in just this state, which is kind of the epicenter of the numbers right now. But, God, I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping that everything kind of works out, but it's looking more and more likely it's going to be really tough to get all this done for the football. You see what's happening in college football right now. NFL is going to be, you know, it's not going to be a bubble because you're going to be at your own facility, which I think not a lot of teams do their training camp at their own facility, right? There's very few around the league.
But now they all have to, right? Some do and some don't. Like Dallas is always left.
Right, they're in California, right? They always go to California theirs.
They used to, but I got a feeling they ain't going to be going to California.
No.
We practiced at that facility before when we left town early to get out away from the hurricane, the damage of a hurricane, and get the season started. We were out there, but I don't know. Maybe that's out in the middle of nowhere enough where they're okay. But
they're going to probably shut down that nap room, Joe. I hope you got in that nap room before it gets shut down.
Oh, hell, that nap room will be.
It's done, right? The nap room's done.
Yeah, I forgot to ask the coach how he felt about guys getting a nap and then the year before. I told the funny part of that nap room they put in, you know, where guys could sleep and stuff. Some guys didn't wake up in time for meetings.
Right. That's a problem, right?
Yeah. That was.
I mean, you're basically facilitating somebody missing a meeting.
Yeah. That would have never like I can't tell you how many times Shula used to go, "Hey guys, you got tired legs? Yeah, yeah, coach, you're tired, man. We've been going hard. You know, it's long camp. Now we're 7, 8, 9, 10 games in. We're feeling a little dead." He goes, "Don't go out at night. Go home." Mm. Like the coach knew, like, "You guys are all going out. I want you to stay off your feet for a few days. You got all off season.
Yeah, just go to the nap room.
Go to the nap room." We didn't have a nap room. Can you imagine telling Don Shula?
No.
Can you imagine somebody going, "Hey, coach, we're going to put in a bubble and a nap room"? If you would have told him about that bubble, I mean, there's no way.
I can
hear him right now, because he'd say, "Hey, Sundays we're going to have to play in this stuff. I don't want to see that damn bubble. I don't care if it's hot, if it's pouring rain. We practice in pouring rain." He didn't believe like lightning was going to hit him for a long time. It used to snap around us, and I remember standing back there going, "Man, our coach must think he's got something worked out with God right now, because this lightning is snapping all around St. Thomas." And there was times we didn't come off the field. And I was like, "Coach, how close this stuff got to get?" We were up scrimmaging the Saints in the old days, up in Dodgertown when the Saints were up there in Vero Beach. And we used to have a rookie scrimmage and a veteran scrimmage before the preseason, because that's how long camp was. So we're back there. So we're going and we're going drills with them. And it started snapping. And I mean, it was snapping. You know, it's a big sports complex, but it was snapping all around the field. It was snapping. And the coach was just like, you know, everybody's looking at him. And he was like, you know, again, like, "We're good. Don't worry. It ain't, you know, it's not going to hit us." And I'll never forget, Doug Betters said, "This is BS," and took off running, and the whole team followed him. It was a gutsy move by Doug. It was a gutsy Doug Betters move. And
right,
Doug Betters
right.
and some of the D linemen, Bo and those guys, took off running, and we sprinted behind them. So the coach was like, okay, guys, get off the – he realized the team wasn't staying. So he was like, "Get off the field. Let's go. Let's get out of here." And if Doug Betters didn't take off, and some of those guys, we'd still be practicing out there. Like, he, like, Shoes believed, like, we were gonna play in this stuff. Now, you know, you got lightning threats 40 miles away, and
right.
you shut games down for like 16 stops, right? Like,
Joe, we were at camp. Remember, we were at camp. Was it last year or the year before, where we were doing our show? And they had the lightning scare within a 5 or 10 mile range, and they shut us down from even doing the show. Either move inside or go back to the studio. Remember that?
Let me tell you something, man. Somebody from above Coach Shula had to come down, like the owner, maybe, and say, "Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Stuff, you know, it's a little dangerous right now." I can hear Coach going, "Didn't you put that pole up there to make sure we're safe, that it can hit that so I get this damn practice in? I mean, we're going to have to play in this rain." And like, "Well, Coach, you know, it's, you know, no. This could happen on a Sunday at 1 o'clock at, you know, at the Orange Bowl. No, hell no. We're going to practice in this. Field's going to get muddy and nasty. He went at it, man. And, you know, you're slopping around out there, and he like, "It's what the Orange Bowl is going to look like, man." So he had you ready for all that. And then old Nick Saban came in when he was asking for everything before he quit on the team. And he thought the guy, it was just the opposite. So the guys are burned out by the end of the year. We need something to keep them fresh. So I don't know, man. I've gone back and forth on the whole thing. But listen, we haven't had a whole hell of a lot of success with the bubble, right? I mean, the bubble's been here. We haven't been very good during the bubble times.
Right.
And Shoes just old school, man. Like, "Hey, sorry, looks like a beautiful day today, so enjoy it. But tomorrow might be a bitch. We're going to practice in that too." So, and just had you ready. Like, you know, you fumbled or you dropped the ball when it was wet and the ball got to weigh like 25 pounds. He didn't want to hear about it. Like, "Hey, it happened in the game, damn it. Let's go." Like, old school, man. Old school. That's why you hear some of the old fans going, Why do we have that friggin' air conditioning bubble?
The bubble, like, right? The Nick Saban bubble. That? Right.
For the kids to come out for summer camp so they don't sweat? Right. Like, so some guys have used it. Nick just being like, when he had all that power, just, you know, and Wayne's going, what else can I do, Nick? What else? Everybody said you're the guy. Well, I need a $9 million bubble. Oh, okay. All right. We'll get to that.
Are they deflating the bubble and bringing it to their new facility, or is the bubble done?
No, it's done. It's not going.
It's retired?
Yeah, but I don't know what they're doing. It's kind of hard to imagine they wouldn't have a nice one at the new place, right?
Right, something indoor, right. Yeah.
From the pictures I saw, it looked like they have a big indoor facility.
Yeah, oh, okay. I'm guessing. Everybody's going to have it. Listen, the old school days are gone.
I know.
Right? There's no more guys going to practice in pouring rain. They're worried about
they're not spending all that money for those guys to lay down a field in the parking lot of Hard Rock Stadium. Like, they're not going to just play in the parking lot.
They're going to play on the tennis court. That's what they're going to do. Yeah. Play on the tennis court.
No, you're right.
Just put up some cones and just play in the parking lot.
Yeah. Right. Why not? Old school, Shula style.
You're right. Old school's gone. Man, I'd be hearing that going, there's no way. It's lightning. You hear that lightning and thunder? All right, guys, 5 minutes. Let's go. You're like, no way. Like, shoot. I remember going, shoot, he must have a hell of an agreement with God, because we're going back out in that lightning, man. That lightning, you know, you kind of grow up around, you know, lightning hits back here. We're killing golfers right and left, you know. And so, all right. Hey, right now I want to tell you about my friends at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning Company. Eric, Mike, Chippy, Big Joe, and Brian want everybody to know we're safe. And we're working 7 days a week, taking care of all your air conditioning problems. Need a new one? We got the reams waiting for you right now. Just got myself a new one. Had to get the other one fixed. Listen, Air Around the Clock's going to help you. They're going to be there. It's always been about great service all over Broward, all over Palm Beach. More than 100 trucks on the road every day. Trained and certified technicians 24/7. You know, like 40-plus years ago, Big Daddy Lenny started this. We lost Lenny. But guess what? We didn't lose the work ethic to make sure all your air conditioning problems are taken care of. Special financing. Very competitive prices always for you. I just want everybody to know they work clean. They're safe. They're ready to help you. They've been carrying UV lights, new amazing air scrubbers longer than anybody else. This summer, whether you need a new air conditioning unit or the one you have just needs to be repaired, duct cleaning, attic insulation, or you just want to improve your indoor air quality, don't sweat it. 1-800-741-1033. 1-800-741-1033 for Ream and Air Around the Clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.